I have three scriptures today, relatively short. The first is Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "Guard your steps when you go into the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth. So let your words be few." Matthew 11, 25 to 30. "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son, to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For 4 years, I walked the campus of the University of Pennsylvania, which was known and proud of the fact that it was the first school in the nation that had no religious affiliation. The founder was Benjamin Franklin, who, as you know, had his own religious ideas, not many of which fit the ideas of the church. So Penn was very happy with the fact that they weren't really connected with the church. And when I was there, that was very clear. Now, probably it's true of most campuses today that those who are Christian have a difficult time acting and living their faith on college campuses today. The ideas of our culture have shifted such that our faith is by many, especially those who consider themselves highly intelligent, to be foolishness. Jesus here says, "Isn't it wonderful, Lord God, that you reveal yourself not to the wise necessarily, but to the foolish, the ones who are like little children?" On that campus, in the quad, there's a statue of a person I had never heard of before until I stood in front of this statue and learned about him. His name was George Whitefield. George Whitefield was an evangelist back in the 1700s when the school was founded in 1740. He was a friend of Benjamin Franklin. Franklin used to say, actually, that if Whitefield was preaching somewhere, he would make sure to leave all his money at home, because Whitefield was such a powerful preacher that even if he didn't believe what Whitefield was saying, he would fill the offering plate with all his money. I'm not sure how true that is, but Whitefield was a powerful preacher, and Whitefield preached a powerful sermon on this passage from Matthew chapter 11. He started earlier in the passage than I did, where Jesus says, the people had come, the John's disciple had come to Jesus and said, "Are you really the one?" And Jesus had to respond. And so the comparison between John and Jesus was very evident in this section of Scripture. And Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." But then he went on to say in verse 12, that's not where it is. He goes on to say, "And yet, anyone who is in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So what we're seeing here is a big shift from the legal world of the Old Testament, the obedience to law, and the new kingdom that Jesus brings in. And Jesus goes on to talk to the people. He's not the kind and gentle Jesus that we sometimes picture Jesus to be. He's pretty irritated in this chapter when he's speaking of people from various towns and cities who saw the miracles that he had performed. And he said, "You don't even pay attention. How do you not pay attention? This is the word of God coming to you, and you don't seem to care." He said, if these kind of miracles had been shown to Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have turned. They would have repented. But you folks just keep listening, keep being there, but not taking it in. One commentator, Scott Heise, said, the problem with putting words in Jesus' mouth, but words that reflect what Jesus actually says, is the problem with you people is that you want to call all the shots, force every prophet into your own preconceived mold. If you don't like the message, you pick on some aspect of the messenger as an excuse to reject him. Now, see, they had said about John that he's too much of an ascetic. He doesn't eat much, he doesn't drink, he doesn't have any fun at all, and he wears weird clothes, and we don't want to be like him, so we're not going to listen to him. And then Jesus comes along, and he goes to feasts and goes to people's homes, and he eats and drinks, and they said, he's a glutton and a drunkard, we're not going to listen to him. The point is that Jesus is making is listen for the word of God. Listen to what God is saying. Don't have such preconceived notions that you're not willing to hear the voice of God. And hearing the voice of God is a challenge for anyone, but it's a challenge for us. Whitfield's sermon points out that the first people who have a hard time hearing from God are the people who think they have it all together, the people who think that their righteousness or their wisdom or their ideas are good enough and they don't need God. And Whitfield is pretty harsh with them, saying, you think you have it all together, but you don't. All of your righteous acts, all of your good reputation is nothing in God's eyes. And then he goes on to another group of people, the people who think they're not worthy at all. How can I approach God, these people say. I'm not righteous. I'm not one of these good folks. There's nothing in me worthwhile. So I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to enter into this relationship with God that Jesus is talking about because I'm simply not good enough. And the answer to both comes in these beautiful words of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In other words, if you carry the burden of trying to be good enough, come to me. I will give you rest. I'll take that burden off of you. If you carry the burden of not being good enough, if you're just tired of trying, come to me. I will take that burden off of you, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This word easy carries with it in the Greek a beautiful bunch of images that convey not just ease, but comfort, companionship, And what a beautiful image it is. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. What a yoke does is connect two oxen together so that they can work together. What Jesus says is, come to me, stand beside me, unite with me. It's almost, the word really truly does convey, it's like he's putting his arm around you. Come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I will carry you. I will be with you. But the thing you have to do in order to come to him and to be with him is to put off all your ideas that you can do it yourself, all your ideas that you can make yourself good enough. And whether you actually believe that you can make yourself good enough or you know that you can't, it doesn't really matter. Whether you're too proud or too falsely humble, the key is to realize that a new world has opened up in Jesus Christ. A new world where God speaks to us, where God is with us, where it's not about us anymore. It's not about how well we do. It's about the grace of God speaking to us because we are made right in him. Come to him. And our focus this week in Sacred Rhythms is the idea of silence before God. And it is through this, we can keep working and keep working. And what it does is it takes us away from experiencing this easy yoke that Christ has for us. We have to take time to settle ourselves and to allow God to speak. And this is illustrated in this short video that I'm going to show now.
Can you remember the last time you were in total silence and solitude, free from electronic devices, external noises, and completely alone? How long did the quietness last for? We often need to free ourselves from noisy distractions and the constant presence of people around us, so that in silence we can separate time to meet with God by ourselves, focusing on who He is and on His love for us. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The prophet Habakkuk declared, God is in his holy temple. Quiet everyone, a holy silence. Listen. A helpful way to do this is going on a silent retreat or simply setting aside a period of time in your daily activities to be alone with God. Make sure you are comfortable and be still inwardly. Intentionally place yourself in the presence of God, choosing a simple word or phrase that expresses your desire for Him, such as, I am here, I am with you, and focus on it. If your mind wanders, don't worry. Gently guide your thoughts back to the center of God's presence. Be with Jesus. Listen. Be still. Enjoy His presence. You may want to choose a scripture meditation to help focus your thoughts and engage in a personal conversation with the Lord. Psalm 139 is a good starting point. Thank the Lord for His care for you, maybe detailing specifically what He saved you from and what He saved you for. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you the goodness of the Lord that has been following you all the days of your life. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what He loves about you and why He made you. And maybe ask Him further questions, such as, God, how can I love you deeper? Where do I need to grow? What breaks your heart? Where is there sin in my life? In all of this, listen for His response. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. An inner impression, a verse of scripture, or perhaps a picture may come to your mind. Meditate on these. testing if they are in accordance with God's character and His Word, and reflect on His love for you.
Over and over again, as recorded in the Gospels, went to a solitary place and prayed. The night before he chose the 12 disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. How can we think that we can make it through our days, our weeks, our lives without that same kind of cultivating of our relationship with God? So what I want to do now is, this Sacred Rhythms curriculum is about learning, but it's also about experiencing. So I would like to ask us to take some time in guided silence. I'll guide you, and hopefully and prayerfully the Holy Spirit will guide you and speak to you as well. But first, just get comfortable in a way that, you know, you're not distracted by anything, and put your feet on the floor. It's probably helpful, it is for me, to close your eyes, to really allow yourself to focus in on what God is doing rather than on any distractions. And hear these words of the psalmist. I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. A weaned child does not need nourishment. A weaned child is with her or his mother just to be with the mother. Now be with Jesus, who says, come to me. What are your burdens? Are you trying to prove yourself? Are you trying to earn favor? Are you weary from all of this striving? Lift up to God the striving of your heart. Lift up to God the worries and anxieties of your heart. Tell God the lies you've believed about yourself and about Him. Now imagine the yoke of Jesus coming down upon you like an extended arm. An arm holding acceptance and love and strength. And put aside all the striving and just take a few moments to receive. Receive His love. Receive His acceptance. Rest. So I encourage you to use these disciplines that we learn. Some will be more useful for you, more meaningful for you than others. If silence is one, and I think it probably should be for all of us, this one at least, make the time. Carve out 2 minutes, 5 minutes, however long you can, maybe a minute longer than you think you can, and just sit with God. Allow God to speak and listen for what God has to say. Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify us through and through. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.